Yes, we do. We love all the people serving and helping out today. Thank you all so much. And I just want to give a shout out. We have some pictures from last week at the river, and I want to just honor so many people that were there the whole time, that were serving, handing out water, answering questions. We had people serving on a medical team. We had security people helping us out with a few issues going on. And then we obviously went down to the river, and we had just a phenomenal time. It was beautiful to see people that had planned on being baptized, and they were, you know, baptized. They had their clothes all ready to go and everything. But then there's this other situation that happens every year where people go down to the water, and they had not planned it, but they were listening to God, and God just led them to the water. And there was a couple people there at the end that just were in dress clothes and got in the water, and you could just sense that God was doing something so powerful in their life, so emotional. They came out of the water just crying and praying, and it was just beautiful. It was awesome. So thanks to everybody that served and helped that day. It was a beautiful time, and everybody that showed up to celebrate them. I think that was one of the biggest crowds we've ever had at the park, and so thank y'all for showing up. And Art and his wife, his family, were serving us snow cones, and then we had hot dogs there. Man, so good. So if you're baptized, we want to help you take your next steps beyond baptism, and we have a session called Next Steps, and it's the first Sunday in September. It's at our 11:30 service, and we'd love anybody that's brand new to Promised Land to join us at Next Steps. In fact, man, I've seen so many brand new faces, so many new families at Promised Land, and that's exciting. I love that. I love that you're here. You're welcome here. We're glad that you're here, but we want to get to know you, and we want to help you get acclimated to Promised Land and get connected at Promised Land. So please join us the first Sunday, 11:30, over in the Student Center. We call it Next Steps. I'll be there. I'll be sharing some of the stuff about the church, history of the church, but we want to meet you. And so this is where a big church gets small, really small. So we'd love for you to come to that. We'll feed you lunch and all that. So hey, for those of you in the room, you should have been given a piece of paper when you walked in the door, maybe two pieces of paper. Take those out right now, and today is going to be like a class session, okay? So those of you that are about to go to school, about to jump into Texas State or San Marcos or Wimberley or wherever, this is your first class of the semester, okay? So get ready. You should have been given a little piece of paper with a triangle on it. That's your sermon notes for the day, and it's just wide open for you to jot down all kind of stuff. And then there's a second piece of paper that is a form that's listing a bunch of different areas that you can serve at Promised Land. And it's our hope that everybody will find a place that you can serve the family today. And when you check off a box and turn it in today, you can turn it in at the box, the black boxes as you leave. You can just drop these in the black boxes. Basically what you're saying is, I'm interested in helping. You're not signing a life sentence, okay, for the rest of your life. But just for the next, until the end of the year, that's really what we're looking for, is people to jump in and serve, because we know that there's going to be a great influx of folks coming in this fall. Happens every year. So turn in your Bible with me to Luke, the 6th chapter, and I want to talk to you about Jesus's movement. So we want to know what Jesus taught. We want to know the facts that he taught. We want to know the amazing things that he did, but we also want to use Jesus's life as an example for us to follow. And in this passage that I'm going to read to you in Luke 6, starting with verse 12 all the way to verse 19, we see in this one small passage the wholeness of Jesus' movement, and it's a beautiful thing. Before this verse picks up, Jesus had just performed a miracle on the Sabbath, which was very controversial, because you weren't supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. It was supposed to be a day of rest. And Jesus steps out of that expectation, and he heals a man with a withered hand. And Jesus is like, come on, the Sabbath, if it's for anything, it's for people to be restored and people to be healed, you know. So, of course, when he did this, the religious leaders were so upset. And the Bible says that they began to plot his demise at that point. They were ready to kill him on the spot, but they had to plan it and scheme it. And so that's what happened right before this text that I'm about to read. It says, one day, this is verse 12 of chapter 6, one day soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray. Somebody say up. Yeah, he went up to a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. It's a long time, right? You might say, well, he's Jesus, you know, he's super powerful man, you know, he can pray for 3 days, you know, and you could think about that. But I want you to flip it and look at the other side of it. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world, and he prayed all night. So if Jesus, who knows everything, has all power, was in creation, I mean, he's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, if he prayed that much, maybe we should pray more. How about we just say that, more? So that's important. Jesus went up and he prayed. And then it says at daybreak, he called together all of his disciples, and he chose 12 of them to be apostles. And here are their names: Simon, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, another Simon, Judas, and another Judas, Judas Iscariot. This is important. Jesus reaches out to those disciples, so there was many of them, and he pulls from those disciples 12 to be apostles, another level of expectation, and he was going to focus on them and with them even further than the disciples. That's important. Let's read verse 17. It says, when they came down from the mountain, the disciples stood with Jesus on a large level area surrounded by many of his followers and by the crowds. So I want us to look at what the Bible says right here. There were crowds, and then there were followers, and then there were disciples, and then there were the 12 apostles, and then there was Jesus. So you can see there's all of the people had different places in life, and they were in different parts of their journey. And I'm sure Jesus wanted all of them to be apostles at one point, but at this particular time, there were apostles, and there were disciples, and there were followers, and then there was this crowd of people that it says they were people from all over Judea and from Jerusalem and from as far north as the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. They came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those troubled by evil spirits were healed. And everyone tried to touch him because healing power went out from him, and he healed everyone. So in this passage from verse 12 to verse 19, we see Jesus' strategy or his pattern of life, whatever you want to call it. And so if we're going to be followers of him, and I don't know about you, but I want to be as close as I can to him, then we should take this passage and many others and really look at the strategy of Jesus, the pattern of Jesus, and try to model that in our own life. So I want you to take out the piece of paper with the triangle. We're going to use a triangle to really help give us a picture, a physical picture diagram of this pattern of Jesus. Jesus makes 3 moves here. The first, we all repeated it, is that he went up. So at the top of that triangle, write the word up. And then it says he went in to his disciples. He went this way. He went into followers of him that knew him, to bring them closer to him, to teach them, to encourage them, to challenge them. So He goes up in worship. He goes in with his followers, and then he goes out to those in the crowd that didn't know him. So let's break each one of these down. And here's the first one. Jesus went up to pray. That was worship. That was in Luke 6 and 12. He goes up on a mountain. It's a very intimate. This is Jesus. He's praying for the entire night. That's a big deal, right? But Jesus was intentional to go up. This is worship. Then he goes in with his disciples. I want you to write beside in, write discipleship and fellowship. This is important. Jesus knew that he needed to disciple those around him, to encourage them, to challenge them, to ask tough questions, to teach them. But also, he fellowshipped with him. And I know that's not a word we use a lot. Like, hey, guys, y'all want to go fellowship? Y'all want to go fellowship at Evo? No. That's what he did, though. He socialized with them. He ate meals with them. He just hung out and had fun with his disciples. They lived together. They traveled together. They did everything together. So this was discipleship and fellowship. Jesus was intentional. And honestly, we are here today because of the work that Jesus did with his 12 disciples, not the crowds. But we're here today because of what he did with those 12, because Jesus ascended into heaven after his resurrection, and it was the 12 apostles, well, 11, because Judas was gone, one of the Judases, and they're the ones that built the church. All right, so he went in. But he also went out to those in need. And we call this evangelism and mission. So out on that corner, in fact, go ahead and put up that next triangle that shows the description of all these. This is what I would love for you to write on your triangle, along with any other thoughts you have of the day. But worship is what we do when we go up to our Heavenly Father. We need to do that. We need to go in. We need to have discipleship and fellowship with others. But we also need to go out, where we reach the lost, where we reach people that don't know anything about God. And so just leave that up for a second, because I want us all to take this triangle and take it home with us, and I want you to really process this. Think through it. How is your life compared to Jesus, all right? Now, I'm sure there's going to be missing pieces. There's going to be lopsidedness. But my challenge for you today is really dig into your life and think through it and try to see if you can find a way to balance yourself around all three of these. As a church, we want to be balanced in all three of these. As a any sort of ministry, we want to be balanced. As individuals, as a person, I want to be balanced in all three of these. This is important. You might have some people that are all about worship. I mean, they're just going in, they're worshiping, they're at church all 24/7, they're worshiping. And they're not doing anything to reach the people that are outside of the church. And they're not doing anything for discipleship. My pastor growing up would have said that they're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. They're just detached from the world around them. So that you could actually be in error if you are so involved with worship that you're disconnected from people that are hurting and broken around you. At the same time, you could be too focused on other things. Like there's a lot of denominational churches that have been so focused on mission and reaching out to those that are hurting, they forgot to worship God. They've kind of detached from worship and they're just out of sync. So we want to be balanced in all of these. And so here's some questions that I'd love for you to ask yourself. The first is, how am I moving up towards God in worship? How are you moving up towards God in worship? Showing up to a 10 o'clock service in the middle of a resurging pandemic. You're worshiping God. Come on. That's good. That's awesome. Those of you online tuning in, thank you. You're connecting. So yes, you are making a move towards God, but I want to challenge you, what are you doing to move up in worship tomorrow, Wednesday, Friday, Thursday, Saturday morning, like whatever? Are you making a move? Are you making a move? You don't have to pray all night, but are you making a move towards God in worship? That's important. I want to push you a little bit. I want to challenge you a little bit in your walk today. The second question is, how am I moving in towards others for growth? Look in your life. Are there people around you that will challenge you in your faith? Have you allowed people in your life permission to ask you tough questions? Are you bold enough to be in a relationship where you're asking other people questions that may challenge them, that would encourage them, that uplift them? Are you hanging out with people? You know, are you socializing and have a relationship with people? These are great questions to ask yourself. Am I moving inward to help other people grow, and am I growing myself? And then, how am I moving out towards those who are far from God? Am I moving up? Am I moving in? Am I moving out? And I would love for you to take this home with you and pray over it and think through it and really do an honest evaluation that can just be between you and God and think through this. And if there's an area that you need help with, step out in faith. So do an inventory. But there's a place, there's a few places in life where you can actually do all three at the same time. And it's awesome. You can actually move up, you can move in, and you can move out, all while doing just a few activities. And one of them is serving in your local church, finding a way to serve with the other people around you in a local church. And I want to show you just real simply, very practically, how this works. So when you're serving in the context of a local body of believers, it is worship, it is evangelism, it is fellowship, it is discipleship, especially when you're doing it on a regular basis in the context of a Sunday morning experience. So first of all, you're sacrificing your time. I gathered with a room full of people at 7:45 this morning, all the hospitality team, and man, they got up early to get there. None of them are paid. They all are doing it volunteer. And I was so encouraged to just stand in front of them and, you know, share with them the vision of the day. We're praying over the day. But they are sacrificing their time to God, right? They could be in bed. They could be getting ready to go to the lake or go to the outlet mall or go do whatever, do yard work, whatever. Instead of doing that, they're saying, I'm not doing any of that. I'm taking my day off. And I'm getting up early, and I'm giving it to God. That's worship. That's worship. That's awesome. That's beautiful. And so it's rewarding, too. I mean, what's beautiful about worshiping God is there's a kickback. We actually feel good about it, you know, spiritually and emotionally. So serving on a Sunday is something that will help you worship God. When you serve on a team, you also get connected to other people and create a bond that is a habit for discipleship. So in other words, all those people that were serving on the hospitality team, they're getting to know other people in that room. They're getting to know the people that are standing beside them wherever they're serving. There's people right now serving our children. They're teaching your kids about Jesus in an age-appropriate way. They're having fun over there. But the teachers that are working together are getting to know each other in the process. And so now they're establishing a bond with another adult or teenager or whatever that that they're going to take outside of that room. And so when you're serving on a team, you're worshiping God, you're getting connected to one another, and then you're using your talents and your skills and your ability to actually be an evangelist. Because every single service, there are people coming in these doors and tuning in online that don't know God at all. And it's not just about me getting up here preaching a sermon because church experts or whatever say that people, by the time the pastor gets up to speak and say anything, people are already made a decision. Am I going to listen to this guy or not? Right? And that has to do with people setting the table and preparing the way for the word of God to come forth and do what it's supposed to do. When Jesus was ministering to the big crowds, it's not really defined in the Bible that much, but you can assume and understand that those apostles and disciples and followers were working the crowd in order to get them to a place where they could be touched by Jesus. Yeah. In fact, when he was feeding the 5,000, he told them to feed the 5,000, and they started moving around and organizing. The Bible says that they took the 5,000 people, and they began organizing them all into smaller groups so that Jesus could feed each one of them. Now, that doesn't just happen. It took people working and being organized, being strategic, and serving so that Jesus could be presented to the individual. So that's what's happening. In fact, a few weeks ago, and maybe she's here today, I'm not sure, but a few weeks ago I was preaching about the fear of God. And, you know, that's a pretty heavy topic, you know, especially for people that have never been in church before, never heard about that before. And I was talking about the fear of God and how it's important and what it means. And she came up to me after the service. She said, "I've never read the Bible before. I just moved here from another state." And she's so brand new to this whole idea. And she said, "I need to know more about this fear of God because it sounds so weird. It's so different." And so I was able to talk to her a little bit further. But I took away from that, how awesome is it that there's people that have never read the Bible and don't know anything about God, feel safe here at Promised Land, and someone welcomed them in, and someone helped them on a golf cart, and someone made sure that there was toilet paper. Come on. And somebody greeted them and made them feel welcome, and then the worship team led us in worship. I mean, just the whole thing, everybody working together so that Jesus could be presented to this person. So important. Well, we're serving, it happens. So I want to share with you, in fact, take out that little that other piece of paper that I handed out today. I want to share with you several areas, very, very practical places that you can step into serving and start really going up in and out by sacrificing some time, helping connect with other people and reaching people that are far from God. The first one is adopt a bobcat. Adopt a bobcat. Y'all know there's a lot of kittens coming into town this weekend. Meow. Yeah, they're just babies. They're just baby kittens. Little bobcats. They're freshmen, and they're moving here from other cities, other states, or whatever, and we want to be a safe place for them. One of the families in our church just sent their son to a school in Abilene, and this is out of town. It's very far. You know, this is their baby. They're letting go out of the house. It's a big deal. One's flying the coop. And so they took him to their freshman orientation, and they're all nervous, and they're getting him in school. And there's another parent dropping their son off as well. And he started talking to our family and said, "You know, how are you doing?" And our family's like, "Well, we're kind of nervous, to be honest with you. You know, this is new to us, and we're not sure what to do." And he said, "Don't worry about it. I live here. And I'm going to help you and your son. If you ever need anything, you call me. Here's my phone number. If he ever needs something, he can call me." And immediately, it just released tension from that family to have somebody there that was going to look, you know, after them. So we've been offering that here in San Marcos for a long time. And there's people that have been adopting bobcats. And it's really up to you what that looks like. It can be just you send them a text a week that's encouraging. You can have them over for dinner. You can do all kind of stuff. Or it's just a gentle thing. So if you're interested in that, check off that box. Or what's even more important, go see Emilio at the table. And he's got a whole information sheet that gives ideas and thoughts. And maybe you're a kitten in here today. And you would like someone to cook you a home-cooked meal every once in a while instead of Totino's or whatever it is. yeah, you can go to the table too. We'll hook it up. All right, the next one there, lead a small group. We're loving small groups at Promised Land. This is a huge part of our church. If you are interested in leading a group, please check a box there. And let us know. We're looking for people to lead small groups for college students. And you don't even have to be a college student, but maybe you're an older couple and you'd like to mentor a whole group of students, you could lead a small group there. But we have men's groups, women's groups, teenagers have small groups. So if you want to lead some teenagers, junior high or high school, but we have family groups, empty nester groups, all kind of groups, and we're looking for people that might be interested in facilitating those groups. And so we'll train you, we'll help you, teach you how to do that, check that box. Promise Kids is our ministry. I've already talked to you a little bit about that, but this is children's ministry, and I've talked to our team this week, and I said, you know, give me some, you know, specific areas that you're really looking for help in. And one of them in kids ministry is our 8:30 service. So when COVID hit, we had full children's ministry in every service, and it was amazing. And then it was gutted. I mean, every team was gutted by COVID. We had to rebuild everything. And so now we have children's ministry at 10 and 11:30. We're ready to add it at 8:30. So that's all age groups, infant to fifth grade. But in all of our services, we're looking for help in our three-year-old class and our 4 and 5 year old class. And then we have a special needs class at this service, at the 10 o'clock service. And it's an incredible resource for families that are struggling, that many of them have no resources in their life, and they surely can't go to church because their kids aren't welcome. And so it's an honor and a privilege for us to be able to offer this to the community. So it's intimidating, though. I understand that. And you don't know what to do, what to say, or whatever. We have teachers in there, but we're looking for helpers. So you could just be a buddy, you know. You could just kind of be like a big brother, big sister to some of these kids that are in our, what we call a Shining Stars class at the 10 o'clock service. We also have Promised Land High on here. This is junior high and high school. There's a junior high class at the 10 o'clock service that's starting in September called The Bridge. So if you'd like to teach junior high kids, that's on Sunday. But we also have Sunday evening events happening. They have their own worship service once a month. They have small groups. They have fun events. So if you'd like to serve on the Promised Land High Dream Team, that's awesome. Then we have on here production and worship. So obviously, if you're a musician, we're always looking for more musicians of every type. If you have knowledge or an interest in technology, running computers, sound, lights, graphics, online ministry, if you'd like to help. In fact, some of you that are online and you're unable to get out in person, you can serve on our online team and help answer questions online and build community online. Hospitality team, our ushers, hostess, greeters, security, 5-star. We're looking for friendly people all the time to join hospitality team. Lawn care is a non-Sunday event. So if you are loving to get outside and get some sun and work in the yard, cutting grass or doing flowers, we have a bunch of beds and planters and different things that we're always needing help, weeding and cutting and trimming and pruning and watering and on. Our olive tree out here was struck by the blizzard. I don't know if y'all noticed that. It used to be like a 15-foot tall olive tree, and the winter blizzard came and struck it down, and it was dead. But come on, somebody. Jesus brought it back to life. If you see at the bottom, the olive tree's coming up out of the ground. All right, I'm not going to preach today. Next Steps team are the people that help in the Next Step event. If you're good at cooking, if you like to cook, if you like to be hospitable, set tables, centerpieces, all that kind of stuff. If that's your jam, we'd love for you to help us on the Next Step team. If you're a photographer, if you're good with social media, we're always looking for people to help us with that. And JD's stalking around today, getting stuff on social media, and we need people to jump in on that. And then the final line there are all of our outreaches that go on Saturday, typically. The Greater San Marcos Youth Council or Youth Center is foster care kids that we host here once a month. They come here on a Saturday. We have fun with them. We do Bible studies with them. A few weeks ago, we gave them bicycles and just all kind of cool stuff. Centro Esperanza is food that we give away. A food truck comes in, and we're the distributor. So we're putting it in hundreds of cars once a month on a Saturday over in Redwood. So this is a great opportunity to serve, to go up, to go in, go out. And then the final one there is prison. The prison ministry goes to the Lockhart Prison the first Sunday night of every month. And it's an incredible time to go reach the women there at the Lockhart Prison. But maybe you're not able to do that, but you could write. We have a series of people that are writing inmates, sort of like pen pals, writing them encouraging letters, listening to their letters, writing back. And we also have a newsletter that goes out to the prison. So maybe you're a writer or a blogger. You can write an encouraging article for the folks there. So if you're interested in any of that, check that box and then put your name, email, phone on here. And as you leave today, drop this little card off in the black boxes that we use for offering as well. But these will go perfectly in that little slot. So would you join with me in prayer right now? In fact, why don't you just stand to your feet? And I want us to go to God in prayer. And I believe that God is speaking. And this is a very sort of different kind of message. But I believe that God is calling people to go up, to go in, and go out. And as a church, we want to live out that same model of Jesus. So if there's any area, as I was speaking today, that tugged on your heart, or maybe was a jolt of inspiration, or emotional, or whatever, I want to encourage you not to stop at Sunday morning. You know, right now, right in this moment, I want to encourage you to keep on praying about it, keep on pressing into it, and let's just see where God takes you. This is where the kingdom is built, when the people of God start taking steps and putting God first. We go up first, and then we invest in each other. We got to make sure, though, that we go out. So would you bow your heads with me right now? And if there's anybody in the room, or maybe you're watching online right now, and you're far from God yourself, maybe you don't have a relationship with God yourself, and you would like today to make a change in that area, I want to pray with you. You can pray the words I'm praying. You can say them word for word. You can say them in your own words. But here's the important thing. I can't pray this for you, but I can pray with you, okay? So this has got to be something on your own. If you're ready to have a relationship with God, then let's tell him that right now. Just say, Jesus, I'm ready to have a relationship with you. I surrender my life to you right now. I put my life in your hands. And I recognize that I need a Savior. I need someone to help me. And Jesus Christ, I trust that that's you. I believe that that is you. I put my faith in you, Jesus. Come on, let's make a confession of our faith. I put my faith in you, Jesus. I put my trust in you, Jesus. I believe you're the way. And I want to walk towards you from this day forward. I'm excited about that. I don't understand all the details of it, but I'm ready to walk by faith. And so I give you my life today. I surrender my heart to you today. And I ask for you to fill me with your Spirit. And everybody in the room, everybody that's watching, let's just say, Jesus, I want to keep going up. I want to go in and I want to go out. Lord, show me, point it out to me, Lord. You know, how can I worship you better? How can I reach in and help others better? How can I reach out to the lost? How can I be a light? In Jesus' name, Lord, I want to do that. There's a big mission field out there. There's a big calling. That we're living in a time that's very challenging and very difficult. We know that. We understand that the call is very, very important and very, very daunting if we just think about it in our own self and our own abilities. But Lord, we pray that you're going to be with us. You're going to go with us wherever we go. As soon as we leave out of this room today, God, we pray that we'll be the salt of the earth, that we'll be a city set on a hill, that we'll be the light of the world, that you're going to make a difference through everything that we're doing, Lord. In Jesus' name, bless us. Amen. Amen. Come on, clap your hands right now and thank God. He's doing it in your life, in my life. Yeah, it's awesome. Awesome, awesome. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. You're dismissed. We love you so much, and we'll see you here next Sunday. Society's plan should define who I am. Surely there's a high.